The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, let a man so account us as servants of Christ and servants of the mysteries of God. Now here is it required in stewards that a man be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small matter to be judged by you or by man's tribunal. Nay, I do not even judge my own self, for I have nothing on my conscience. Yet I am not thereby justified, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore pass no judgment before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and make manifest the counsel of hearts. Then everyone will have his praise from God. Please stand for the gospel. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was procurator of Judea, and Herod tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother tetrarch of the district of Iturae at Trachonitis, at Lysanias tetrarch of Albilina, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching and baptizing, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. The voice of one crying in the desert, make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked way shall be made straight, and the rough way smooth. And all mankind shall see the salvation of God. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In the last three Sundays of Advent, St. John the Baptist always makes an appearance in the Gospel. And it is fitting because his ministry is to announce the coming of the Christ. He is the precursor of Christ to prepare the way. We read in the Gospel, Luke's account, St. Luke's account, where St. John was baptizing. Now, the baptism is not a sacramental baptism, but it is a baptism, as he says, of repentance, so that people would make a commitment to put off their sins and to be ready for the coming of the Christ. Now, St. John the Baptist is one of the few saints in the time of our Lord that we know a lot about. We know his birth. It's all in the scriptures. We don't have to rely on extra scriptural accounts. We know about his birth, his sanctification in the womb. We know about his ministry. And then, of course, we also know about his death. Remember that as the forerunner of our Lord, once our Lord begins his ministry, St. John then says, he must increase and I must decrease. It is time for then St. John to really move away from the scene, to move out of the scene and let our Lord then conduct his ministry. He even sends some of his disciples to our Lord. And then we see then what happens to St. John. He is then arrested and then ultimately martyred. And I think it is instructive to really reflect on St. John the Baptist, especially his martyrdom here today, because I think it means a lot today. St. John the Baptist was in the territory of Herod, the Tetrarch of Galilee. He was baptizing in that area, baptizing, calling people to repent from their sins. And he got in trouble with Herod, because Herod was in a false marriage. And he preached against Herod. And we can imagine him there. It says he's all around the Jordan River, baptizing people. People coming to him, saying, repent, turn away from your sins. And then, of course, the king of that area, the Tetrarch, it was technically the title, Herod of the Jews there, the king of that area of the where the Jews were living, is in a sinful marriage. So we can just imagine naturally St. John is going to preach against it. So what is Herod's marriage? Herod married his brother's wife. Now, his brother is the next one here in the gospel account here. Philip, his brother, tetrarch of the district of Iturae at Trachonitis, which was just adjacent to where Herod was the ruler of. And apparently, actually they were half-brothers, apparently they met. They had been married for a while, and the extra biblical account was that they had to go to Rome, and it was in Rome that Herod reacquainted himself with his brother, met Herodia, his wife, and they both fell madly in love with each other. And so Herodia divorced Philip, and Herod divorced his wife so that they could be married. And Philip was still alive at the time of this, because we have it here in the Gospel of Luke that Herodia would have still been legally married to him, or at least we'll say spiritually married to him. And so in the Gospel of Mark, we have the account of what happened. That it says that Herod was respecting of John. He didn't want to throw John in prison, because of two reasons. He said, first of all, he feared the people because they held St. John in such high respect. He feared that if he did anything against St. John, people would rebel. We see the Pharisees later on in Jesus' ministry, when he questions them about John, they have that same fear. That's how popular St. John the Baptist was. But then it also says that Herod regarded St. John the Baptist as a just and holy man. So Herod actually did see St. John as a good man. Of course, he didn't listen to his preaching. He didn't try to write his life. But at least he had some kind of respect for him. St. Mark, though, tells us his wife, Herodia, though, she was the one who really disliked St. John the Baptist. And St. Mark says she is the one who wanted to kill him, but she couldn't, and so she waited for the right time. I think everybody knows the story. I hope everyone knows the story then. Herod had a party for his birthday. He invited all the leaders there. And Herodias' daughter, sometimes her name is given as Salome, although don't confuse that Salome with one of the pious women who is there at the crucifixion and the burial and the resurrection. Different person. Herodias' daughter, at this party, gives a sinful dance, or does a sinful dance, sexually provocative dance. And it was greatly enjoyed. Herod liked it. And many of the other people there liked it. Herod liked it so much, he promised the young lady anything she wanted. And we know the story. She went to her mother, and her mother finally could get rid of that St. John the Baptist, extract her revenge. And the young girl asked for St. John the Baptist's head. So it says in St. Mark that Herod was very sad, because he did have some respect for St. John the Baptist, but he fulfilled her wish anyway and had St. John the Baptist killed. Now, I think that the death of St. John the Baptist, the martyrdom, is very apropos today, because in our society, we have a society that greatly doesn't value the sanctity of marriage. St. John the Baptist went to his death because he preached the sanctity of marriage. And he wasn't concerned about the judgment that awaited him. He went to death because of a sinful dance. A sinful dance that elicited the pleasure of the seers and ultimately led to his death. You know, whenever I think about this, I often think about our society today, as I said. And I wonder if Herodias' daughter were to do that dance today, whether we would think it is very racy at all. You know, whenever you see some of the things in our society, people dancing, it's just in the media or in entertainment. The Super Bowl halftime show, these things, these type of dances would make our, if we were to show them 50 years ago, our ancestors, our grandparents would be blushing incredibly. The sinful dances occur all the time in our society. When we think about the judgment that St. John faced, we read in Corinthians, St. Paul, he says, it is required that in stewards that a man be found trustworthy, that is, stewards of the mysteries of God. St. John the Baptist was one of these stewards, was one of the greatest ones. And he did not respect the judgment of men. He wasn't concerned. As St. Paul says, it is a very small matter to be judged by you or by a man's tribunal. As long as, he says, I do not have anything on my conscience. And so that was St. John the Baptist. He spoke out against the sinful marriage. Herodia and Herod, that marriage was not a marriage, a political marriage. It wasn't a marriage of convenience. They loved each other. That's what we have from the early extra-biblical accounts. They were madly in love with each other, and that's why they got married. They married for love. And yet, it didn't matter for St. John the Baptist. It was still a sinful marriage. Now, today, there's a lot of difficulties in marriage. And in past generations, before two people could separate, two Catholics, I guess I should say, could separate, they were supposed to go and get permission from the bishop. They were supposed to meet with the church in order to do that. You know, many times, I've been a priest 15 years now, and many times I've had couples come to me with difficulties in their marriage. And, you know, I think, or I've even said this, I wish you'd come years ago. Because at the point they come to see me, oftentimes they're ready to separate. I wish you'd come years ago, because we could have done a lot of things back then and made it so much better. You know, God doesn't ask us for the impossible. As Catholics, we believe it's one man, one woman, together for life. And this is why in the past, the church always required that before a couple could separate, they would need permission from the bishop so that he could make the determination and say, okay, yes, this is a case in which for the good of the couple that you separate. How far we have fallen from that concept of one man, one woman together for life. You know, when a couple argues publicly, that's a problem. Or if they argue in front of their children, they need to look at themselves and say, what's wrong? God does not ask us for the impossible. He makes the graces available. And so if there's a difficulty in the marriage, we have to say, what is the issue? You know, sometimes couples will come to me and it won't be a spiritual issue, it'll be a psychological issue, something like that. And we have to find a suitable counselor. Oftentimes, though, it is a spiritual issue. God wants to give the grace. Why isn't it happening here? But sometimes, though, marriages don't work out. This is why the church also teaches that before someone is what we say free to marry, that is free to you know, in the old days we called it keeping company, courting. I like those terms better than dating. But before someone could do that, and they had a previous marriage, before they can even begin, they were supposed to then have the church investigate the marriage and to determine why did this marriage fail. In order to then make a determination and say, yes, you are then free to marry. You can go keep company with someone else, you know, to court someone or date in order to ultimately get married. But again, oftentimes people don't approach the church until well after that point, until they're ready to get married. And then they oftentimes say, oh, it's too difficult. I mean, I have to wait 6 months? Or we have to fill out more papers? This is the church's ministry of safeguarding the mysteries of God. The church is the steward of the mystery of marriage. And this is why she in past generations, taught us very strongly. As it says in St. Paul, stewards of the mysteries of God. And so I think it's good, it's interesting, to reflect on St. John the Baptist. It's important for us to think about, then, his martyrdom. We can think of him as a martyr for the sanctity of marriage and a martyr for purity. Both of those. He was martyred because of sexual impurity. And how important is his intercession here today in our society? We have a lot of difficulties. So it's important for us to think about how he was a steward, a good steward, a just and holy man who stood up for what was right. And it is good for us then to pray to him, to ask him to help us in our world, now, here, today, in our time, for marriages and also for the sanctity and purity of our society. If anyone here is having a difficult marriage, he would be a good intercessor also. God does not ask for the impossible. He will give the graces. St. John the Baptist, his death was a martyrdom for purity. So let us then ask his intercession. Let us remember him during this time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.